what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Pack Leader Podcast, season finale. We're here with your 2023 NCAA All-American Devin Moore at 149 pounds and also Brian Bland. What's up, fellas?
How's it going, Coach?
Doing good.
How are we doing today?
Doing good, man. It's good to have you on the show.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we jump into things with Devin, just kind of recapping the season, we wanted to have him on as our Super Region champion, as our All-American, just to kind of talk about the season from his perspective and his outlook on things, and as well as what his goals are moving forward. But before we jump into that, I do want to make one last call for the Penpool, Coach. You want to jump into that and kind of tell everybody where we are?
Yeah, Penpool, we're at about 75 to 80% of our goal. Our goal is $20,000. We got a few more responses. We've sent out emails. We've tried to hit everybody up. If you've pledged anonymously, please at least let us know it's you so that we can make sure you get credit for it. If you have pledged and we haven't heard from you, you're still waiting to pay, we'd love for you to help us get the ball rolling and try to really get to that $20,000 goal. We've done a great job, had a big push, but kind of trying to make this one last push, make a little splash here at the end.
Yeah, as of right now, I just actually hopped online to see where we were with that. We're at 80% of the pledges that have been fulfilled. So like Coach said, if you have forgotten or haven't received the email or have any questions on how to fulfill that pledge, please let me know so I can get that information to you, because those funds really do go a long way when it comes to supplementing our annual operating budget. It does things like help us recruit, like buy gear for the guys, buy equipment for the guys, and really run a national championship level program. So I really appreciate everything you've done. And even if you didn't give to the Penpool specifically, if you made a one-time donation, please understand that we value those just as much as we do any Penpool gifts as well. So yeah, that's all I got on that. Really quickly, it just came to mind. I also want to remind everybody that we are 44 days away from the 2023 Newberry Wrestling Camps. We'll start off with the Takedown Elite Camp, and then we'll have our Tough on Top Camp. And then as of today, we have 16 teams that have registered for the Newberry Summer Duel. So up a few teams from last year. Looking forward to a great summer of camp.
Yeah, last year I think we had 12 or 13.
12 teams.
And we had a great 2 days of wrestling. I think everybody got to wrestle everybody at least once, and then we did our placement matches. So the more the merrier. If we get to that point that it's starting to be out of hand, if everybody wrestles everybody, we'll just pull stuff and make it happen. But those take place June 17th through 23rd, and NewberryWrestlingCamps.com has all the information, so you can check it out there.
Absolutely. And Devin, yours truly, Devin Moore, will be in the building helping out with that, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there the whole week. I remember last year was fun.
Yeah.
A lot of good teams. South Effingham was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holding it down for your home state.
Yeah, come on.
Georgia. Nice. Man, let's get into the interview. So give me your takeaways from the season, just in general.
I don't know. I think I had a pretty successful season. I didn't get to accomplish all of my goals that I wanted to. So I'm just still working towards those goals. But overall, the season I thought was pretty successful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for everybody that doesn't know, just give us a quick rundown of where you're from, where you wrestled in high school, kind of, you know, high school accolades, and what led you to Newberry.
Okay, so I'm from Baxley, Georgia, small town. I wrestled at Appling County High School, and in high school I was a three-time state placer. I got third, second, and Coach Saz, like, the main reason I came here, him, Will Evans, Isaiah, Austin Palmer, like, whenever I was thinking about a college to go to, my coach back home, DeMarco, was, like, really emphasizing training partners, so... Mm-hmm. When I was like looking at the roster, I'm like, Palmer's an All-American. He's around my way. Isaiah's a national runner-up. Will Evans was already committed here. So I was like, you know, this is just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Not too far away from home.
Yeah. And DeMarco actually came out to nationals.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did. He
awesome.
Did.
Awesome, man.
That's my guy.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. And a fun fact, a lot of people don't know this. You probably don't even want me mentioning it, but he mentioned second. There was a finals matchup with Nolan Wheeler that he came out on not the winning side of.
They still give me crap about that to this day.
Yeah.
And it really was crazy because it was like 1 second away from not going that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, y'all are boys now. Y'all get it done.
Okay. Right? That's a stretch. We're teammates.
That's great. But no, so you come to Newberry and, you know, you eventually make the starting lineup. Talk to me about your journey in becoming our starter and just some of the challenges you faced and getting to where you are now. Like you said, I know your final goal isn't reached yet, but just there's a lot of things that happened in between that I want you to talk to.
I mean, I think coming in, I didn't understand, like, the different levels. Like, I thought, like, all right, I'm pretty good in high school. Like, I'll be on the same level when I get to college. Mm-hmm. And, like, my first month in the room, man, I was getting exposed. Mm-hmm. Like, D'Ambrosio was giving me the beats. Tanner. especially Isaiah. But Isaiah, he's like someone who really like kept me motivated because he just kept telling me like, you know, keep working, like you got like you have the potential to do it. That and Hornby, I started doing 6 a.m.s with him and Spears like almost like 3 times a week. So I think that really like helped me jump levels. And then COVID, when COVID hit, I got a wrestling mat at my house. And
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I have like a full strip at my house. I don't think it's there anymore, but during COVID, DeMarco and Charles just got in my house like every day. We used to wrestle from like 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Wow.
Just grind every single day. We couldn't do anything else.
Right.
So it was literally like wake up, play the game, work out. Just like repeat every single day. So then when I came out from COVID, I was already at the start of the year before, but it was the COVID
that 2020 year.
No, I wasn't the starter yet. The next year I became the starter.
Okay.
Yeah, so COVID hit my freshman year. The next year I became the starter. A pretty decent year, but, you know, I was still kind of young. And my COVID year, we didn't get the national duels, Midwest. We only had the in-conference matches. So.
Yeah, there was like 9 matches going into regionals.
Yeah. So I didn't like experience the tough matches or the being down really. So when I got to the regional tournament, well, I really didn't experience wrestling a tournament. So when we got to the regional tournament, like I kind of didn't know what to expect. So I think like that would play a factor in it. And then the next year, whenever I was at 141, that was brutal. You know, that cut was kind of hard.
Yeah.
And that was like my first time at a lot of these tournaments, like Midwest, national duels, like Virginia Tech Open, like as a starter. So I don't know. So this past year, when I had the experience in my belt, I kind of knew what to expect. So, like, I think that's what really played a big factor in, like, me having success this year.
Yeah. And I mean, just to kind of back up and talk about that cut to 41, man, I remember you coming back from Thanksgiving. And you stepped on the scale, and I was like, what did that say?
Like, you were bigger than Isaiah.
Yeah.
That was pretty brutal for you, for sure. Especially to do... You know, like you said, after a season where you only had 9 weigh-ins and then to come hit a season. And I remember there was a lot of back and forth between all three of us on, like, are we going 41 this year or are we going 49? And I think we made the right decision.
I think we did, too.
Absolutely. Because it's not like you're a small 49. So, but anyway, and it was just so...
65.
Let's not get crazy. It was just super fulfilling to see you know, get what you worked so hard for, man. I can think about a number of guys in my career who were talented but just couldn't make that mental jump. And for you, I never really thought it was technical. I always thought it was a mental thing of you just learning how to win. Blanton always talks about, you know, winning is a skill in itself, and it really seems like you figured that out this year. Outside of the work ethic, talk a little bit about the mental adjustments you made.
Well, it's like something me and my friends kind of joke about now, like the little things, but they really matter. Like, if you're doing the little things right, that shows your commitment to be great later on in the future. Like, when Ormby left, I stopped doing the 6 a.m.s, but John Parker and Blanton started going back in the morning this year. So after we get done with 6 a.m. lifts, I'd be like, man, I don't want to go. Like, I don't want to go to the room. Like, I just got done working out. Like, but I'm like, if I really want to get this done, like, it doesn't matter. I got to be there.
Absolutely.
So that and paired with like some of the mental training I was doing at night. I don't want to give any of my secrets away and tell anybody what I'm doing, but you know, it's just being consistent at the end of the day. It's not like being focused for a week, it's being locked in the whole season.
Yeah, absolutely. This is completely random. Talk a little bit about how you feel about this 3-point takedown that's been proposed.
I love it. Come on, I'm about to rack them up. No more talk. All the work we did this past year, going down the drain.
No, it's only a proposal at this point, but it definitely changes the game, man. And I mean, I think one of the things you did this year that really separated your performance from last season is your commitment to top. So, I mean, you take a 2-point takedown and a near fall now, or a 3-point takedown and near fall now, you're up, what, 7?
You write them out. That's a major.
Yeah, right.
You could go in the third period tied 0-0. And then tech him.
Yeah.
Like, realistically.
Mm-hmm. You could go in the third period, tie 0-0, and literally major him with one move.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about not being able to get your ride? The proposal as it stands is you wouldn't be able to get your ride in time point unless you get near fall.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time I ride somebody, I usually turn them.
Right.
At least once, like a quick 2-count. And I think this gets rid of the stalling. Like, some guys just get a claw and just sit there and just try to bump forward.
So. No, Blaine, I know you feel completely opposite.
I think a nice, happy medium would be if you get them into near fall criteria, basically if you get one swipe.
Yeah.
Because that shows you are trying to turn. I think that's at least a fair compromise, but I mean, a good dude's tough to turn, and that riding time point might be the difference in the score. So, you know, I don't think you should not earn it.
Just because you can't turn.
Right.
Right. And you brought up the example, like, well, what if it's the NCAA National Finals and you're wrestling Spencer Lee, and should you be punished that because you were able to expose him, but and even ride him out, but you still don't get your point just because you can't turn and you know, get some swipes on Spencer Lee, and just the many different situations you can find like that.
Right. I'd also like to point out, Devin mentioned the claw ride being a stall ride. I've been saying that for years.
That it is a stall ride?
Yeah.
There's some people that just grab that claw.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said.
I'm literally an academic All-American.
Let them know. Let them know. But yeah, no, and I think I like the rule because even in those final situations where wrestling, especially for D1s, that's the biggest stage that we're on, right? So, yeah, maybe that's what it means. Maybe it means you got to cut them now. Because for the people watching at home that don't know that much about wrestling, when we're on our biggest stage, that puts us in a position where things might be more exciting from their perspective. So I think that the goal is to try to make it a little bit more fan-friendly.
Truthfully, I think we should just switch to freestyle. Mm-hmm. Like, if the United States wants to compete with, like, these other countries consistently, like, I mean, we have good world teams and Olympic teams. Like, in 2017, I think they won the world champions. Mm-hmm. But if we want to, like, consistently compete with Iran, Russia, Georgia, whatever,
yeah,
we have to, like, start wrestling freestyle early. Like, we got to quit with the folk style.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to agree to disagree. I'm American and I like folk style. You know, I like folk style. And I think, you know, it's a tricky game to make rules to enforce action or promote action, rather. But a lot of the rules kind of are pushing us towards freestyle.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to remember that folk style is a three-position sport. And so I understand how watching top-bottom can be boring for the person who doesn't know a lot about wrestling. But at the end of the day, that's folk style. You know, it's not just wrestle 10, 15 seconds, cut them back to your feet. So I think some of it just comes with being a fan of folk style in general. But yeah, that is one argument too. You know, I saw somebody tweet the other day. It was like, we should make the new rules, you know, A, B, C, D, E. But it was basically them just saying, we should do freestyle. So,
but to that same point, freestyle is technically like made up from all the world's folk styles. Like every all these countries have their own folk styles. Mm-hmm. Like sumo wrestling is Japanese folk style.
You know, I never knew that.
What's the Russian? Sambo. Sambo is Russian folk style. There's this Turkish thing where they put olive oil on, they're wearing like football pants and they're in the field and it's just a free for all. You go slam somebody, he's out, you're still in, and it's like last man standing is the winner. But like basically all these countries have their own folk styles, and then like the world wrestling, whatever, the United World Wrestling.
Took from everything?
Yeah, right. And now obviously American folk style is probably one of the closest to freestyle, so they borrow heavily from us. So the more we move to that, the less we're giving freestyle the opportunity to evolve itself.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I just learned
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But no, definitely some interesting rules that were put forth, and I'm interested to see which ones will actually pass. Because right now it's all just proposals, so we'll see.
Pass.
But I just wanted to see what you thought. I want to talk about your match with Joey Biacchini. Because that was stressful. You know, Blatt was over on this side. I'm over on this side. I'm like, man, we're trying to keep the streak going. And at the beginning of that match, didn't start off great. So to kind of walk me through that match, and because you clearly made a mental shift at some point there.
Well, before the match even started, when I lost to Young from Gannon, mm-hmm. BJ came over to me. Like, I was in the back. I was like, I can't even be a national champion this year. Like, why did I come to Iowa? Mm-hmm. And BJ came to me, and he was like, my senior year, I got hurt. I was the one seed. For me to get on the podium, I had to beat two All-Americans.
Yeah.
And I did the same thing. So it was just like little stuff like that I was thinking about. And he was like, I didn't care if they placed last year. I didn't care if they got second. I don't care if they won. Like, I'm getting on the podium.
Yeah.
So after the first round, we got to go back to our hotel. I was just sitting there just thinking, like, I'm going to become an All-American today. I don't care who I have to be. I don't care what I have to do. Like, I'm going to become an All-American. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if I get down by 10 points, 2 points, 1,000 points. Like, I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
Like, that's just something I was thinking about. So when the match started, and I think it was just kind of like a filling out process. Mm-hmm. He was strong whenever, actually, he's coming back to me. When he took me down, he stepped on my foot, mm-hmm. and he tripped me. And I was like, damn, like, yeah, you know, like, And then he wrote me pretty good, but I was just like, I'm just going to keep wrestling the whole time. I'm just going to keep wrestling. And I got a lot of confidence when I turned him. Because it was 2-2, and I turned him on the edge.
Yeah.
And I remember I got the stall call. We went out, Bells came back, I got the stall call. Because I was trying to do the roll through tilt from the feet, but I couldn't get it. But after that, I was just like, I can wrestle with anybody in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's just crazy because I would say he's one of the more decorated All-Americans to have to be an All-American.
Yeah.
I mean, what is he, a three-time AA?
Yeah.
He was in the finals with Isaiah back in 2021.
Third last year.
So, I mean, it's not like he was some slouch. And, you know, on paper, not necessarily the person you want to see. But, again, a testament to your mindset. And like, hey, I don't care who I got to beat. This is what's going to happen. And I could see you smell blood in the water, you know, at some point. He was like, you're going for that major.
Yeah.
So, that was fun to see, man. And talk to me a little bit about just, you know, obviously, keeping the streak going. I think me and Coach did some math, and 45 All-Americans is what we're at now.
47.
We recorrected some math. So we're actually, this is a public opportunity to correct.
Yes, I think there was a point a few years ago where we had two All-Americans, and I don't know what year it was because I think we've been off track for
a couple.
Yeah, definitely 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I'm not sure, but one of the years that we had two All-Americans, I think we sort of did the math, and one of us added it, and then the other one didn't realize it had been added and re-added it, so we've sort of been unintentionally fibbing for the last couple of years, but I think we're at 45.
45, correct. And then when we say 45 All-Americans, that's including like a Blanton who has three of those, right?
Yes.
And then like Isaiah who has four, but on, and I'm putting you on the spot, you might not remember this, but actual individuals is closer.
I think it's like 32.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And you would be the 32nd. But the point, I kind of got off track. What I was getting to is, you know, obviously we want to bring back more than just one. Talk to us about some things you think are holding the team back, some things that would help us, you know, get back to that standard of excellence that we're known for.
The little things, like, we joke about it, but it's, like, so serious, bro. It can be, like, it's like, different for a lot of people. It could be for somebody making your bed every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're starting the day off being a champion. For other people, it could be getting to practice 10 minutes early. You just got to figure out, like, what makes you tick and how can you, like, improve on it or be consistent about it.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. So I think the team just needs to, like, start focusing on little things. Like,
absolutely.
It could be practice is about to start at 3 o'clock and people are still walking to the door. It could be, like, it could be little things.
Yeah, and it's so funny you say that because, you know, we're having these end-of-the-season, end-of-the-year meetings right now, and on this paper, I probably have little things highlighted when I ask that question to everybody on every page, you know, as far as what we can be doing. Like, literally, those two words, little things. You know, Z was just in here.
Yeah.
Well, as I'm saying, little things is what came out of his mouth. So, I mean, I definitely think that's a running theme and something that we need to tighten up on for sure in order to continue moving forward. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Well, plus it helps when our guys learn how to wrestle. Like, when you figured out how to wrestle, that made a big difference.
It's easy to say, like, you know, focus on little things, but in the moment, you're like, oh, it's a little thing. Like, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
And that's where that mental discipline comes in.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit from wrestling because, and you kind of mentioned, so you were an academic All-American, and for people that don't know, I mean, a phenomenal leader for us off the mat, too. Talk to us a little bit about the internship you had with the Columbia Fireflies. For people who might not even be familiar with minor league baseball, let them know what the organization is and just kind of a general summary of what you're doing there.
Well, I was an intern last year. Okay. Now I'm the full guy, full-time guy.
Official title being?
Visiting clubhouse manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I take care of, like, all the visiting coaches, toddler fridges, catering, whatever. But, it's been a fun journey. When I get done wrestling, I want to one day work in sports operations. So I think this is, like, a really good gig. I'm just trying to, like, build my resume, get experience. Even here at Newberry College, I do the game day operations.
Yeah.
So, like, just trying to build my resume.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to be, like, an athletic director for a college, or you want to work for, like, a professional team?
Well, being an AD, like, you got to have a lot of experience. I've been looking at a few jobs. So I'm just trying to start off with, like, basketball operations, football operations, kind of what I'm doing now. And then over the years, transition to being a college athletic director for a D1 college, hopefully.
That's, like, dream job?
Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool. Well, would it Florida be your... Unfortunately, a Florida fan. Whatever year you want to be.
Come on. Yeah.
Nice.
Go Gators.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. And it's very clear to me, like, when I think about you on and off the mat and a lot of your characteristics, like, you had great parenting. Like, when you have good parents, it's evident, you know, I've been doing this long enough to be able to tell. And talk a little bit about some of the values and principles that your parents instilled in you growing up that have made you who you are right now.
My dad says this all the time. If you're more, you can shine bright like a diamond. So I don't know. My parents have just sacrificed so much for me, and without them, I wouldn't be here today. Not even my parents, just like kind of my whole family.
Yeah.
Like my grandma, my aunt. Like we're always like checking in on each other. Like me and all my cousins have a group chat that we talk in daily.
Nice.
So it's not like just my parents. I mean, they've obviously done a lot. It's just my whole family. It's just like the way we were raised and born from like my grandma to my pop, like anything. Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah,
no. The competition level's high in your household, too, because your brother's slouches.
Yeah, I'm actually probably the worst, like, brother out of my three of them. No,
really?
I'm being serious.
Really?
So my older brother, he just ran a 9.9 in a 100-meter dash. He's a 10-time All-American.
Good Lord.
Right? My little brother, he's, like, 16. He's 6'3". He's talking to D1 colleges.
Sheesh.
And then there's me.
Hey, but next year when we get that national title, then you got something to hold over.
It's like my brother's always trying to one up me.
Yeah.
My senior in high school came on my Newberry visit, got the offer. Oh, we led. The next day, he runs a 10-1. All right, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Get my All American on. I'm like, oh, let's go. A week later, he runs a 9.9. I'm like, damn, bro.
I can't win.
Nah, but without my brothers, I definitely wouldn't be here. Like, I look up to my brother, like, even my little brother, I look up to both of them. Like, they're like my real life role models. Like,
that's awesome, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like I said, it's just pretty evident that family's important to you.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wanted to hear a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about just how you feel about the recruiting class we got coming in.
Oh, man, you see the text messages.
Yeah.
I text you all the time. You have done a great job, man.
It's a me and BB, you know, and you guys as well.
Coach has done a great job.
But what do you think about it? Are you excited? What's going to be important
excited.
With them coming
The room's back filled up. We got lightweights, we got middleweights, we got heavyweights, we got everything, like, everything you can need. Now I'm just trying to like be the leader Isaiah was and Austin was when I was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to win this national title next year, obviously for myself, but to show Andrew Reed, Austin Thiel, Nick Humphreys,
mm-hmm.
Kale,
yeah,
you can win at Newberry College.
Yeah,
like it doesn't matter if we don't have the best facilities. It doesn't matter if we don't, I don't know, do whatever, promote ourselves. Like you can win here. So I just want to be a good leader for them and like show them we can get it done here. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely, man. I think that's huge and kind of the recurring theme that I've been talking to all of the seniors about, especially in these end of the year meetings that we've been having, is having such a big incoming class and with so much talent. You guys going out, it's important that you set the tone, you know, right away.
Like keep the traditions up.
Yep.
Like, you know, keep how practice is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll show the pups the ways.
I like
we'll
it.
We'll show them.
I like it, man. What else do you got for us in terms of, we talked about your career goals, we talked about wrestling. I want to hear you verbalize it, though. What do you want to accomplish next season, you know, on the mat and in life?
All right, so I was chasing this All-American for a long time, obviously. So whenever I got it, a lot of people were like, are you satisfied? Are you, like, fulfilled? I know Fletcher asked me, he was like, are you still, like, hungry like you were a few months ago? And, like, obviously the motivation isn't there like it was until this. Like, this is my last year wrestling. So every single match I'm bringing it, like, my legacy's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to be remembered 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Like, I don't know. Every single match I'm taking serious. Like, this is my legacy. So I want to win a national title. I want to go undefeated. I don't care if it's D1, D2, D3, NAIA. I don't care. I want to leave a great legacy for me. And then when I graduate here, I just want to keep being the person I'm being. I don't want to let the outside world like influence who I am. I just want to keep being the person I am.
Absolutely. Well said, man. And it's been so awesome to coach you. I know I've only been in your corner for 2 years now, but it's been awesome to see your journey and your growth and you finally make that mental hurdle to be considered one of the best in the nation. I mean, a lot of people want to be where you are. And I know you fell short, but it was cool just watching you in the parade of all Americans walk out. You know, it's only 90 people that make it out there. My math is off.
80,
thank you.
I literally got chills thinking about that.
Yeah,
and you're all American. That was a cool experience.
And you were one of them. So, I mean, the point of it is it's really cool to be considered among the nation's elite, and I'm excited to see you keep growing and get this natty title, man. So, just kind of want to wrap up. So, and Mikey might have to help me with some of these other things going on with Newberry College right now. Baseball is having a phenomenal season, ranked number 2 in the region, number 10 in the nation, and playing for a conference tournament championship this weekend, correct?
Correct. Against Lincoln Memorial, it'll be Sunday and Monday.
All right, Sunday and Monday. And then you said we got some home field kind of things going on if we win.
Yeah, so we got a weekend series against Tampa next week for baseball as well to wrap up the regular season. And then right now, since they're sitting in second, they would be hosting the first round of the Super Regional Tournament right now as well. So if they could stay first or second in the region, they'd be able to host the opening rounds of the NCAA Tournament.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's get it done, baseball. And then also shout out to Zach Shoup for winning the Senior Male Athlete of the World. Oh, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Shoup got the Jimmy Villapanto Senior Male Athlete of the Year Award. I don't know what all the there's like a thing, but it's the Senior Male Athlete of the Year. it's that. There is a Male Athlete of the Year and some other things, but he won the Senior Male Athlete of the Year. And we had a few other guys who were up for awards.
Yep.
So to be nominated was pretty big deal. Male Performer of the Year?
No, it was Male Athlete of the Year.
Oh, Male Athlete of the Year. John Park was up for the
Billy
Douglas Community Service Award.
Yep.
And Dayton
Newcomer
of the Year.
Yep. Appreciate you. So yeah, we had a lot of guys nominated, but with the year baseball's having, man, they made it hard for us to bring
anything. They deserve it though.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't take that from them. So, but no, Devin, last thing before we hop off, I'm putting you on the spot here. What's one thing everybody listening right now should know about you?
I have my own podcast, 912 Overtime Podcast. So you guys should go listen to that. If you like college football, it's a seasonal thing. So whenever the season starts back up, you guys should go check it out. It's on Apple Music. It's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you hopping on the show. Go ahead, Blaine.
So we've mentioned a few times, Devin's All-American, also academic All-American. I think we had a program high 8 academic All-American this year.
Yeah. I don't know how I left that out.
That kind of got glazed over. But great year for us in the classroom. What we didn't do on the mat, we made up for in the classroom.
Yes, so that was huge because last year we only had 3.
Right, and that was a big year.
Right, so no, definitely things are trending in the right direction due to Devin and other seniors on the team leading us on and off the mat. So shout out to everyone who earned those honors. I'm probably going to leave one out, so help me. But I know it was Shoup, it was Devin Moore, it was Nolan Wheeler, Armando Acosta, PJ Wonderly, Dayton Fields, John Parker. Yep, John Parker, and then I'm missing one. Timmy Decatur. So those are the 8. Shout out to you guys. Congratulations. Huge accomplishment to be able to be considered one of the best in the country as far as grades are concerned, too. So.
And there is an athletic criteria to that.
Yeah.
It's not just have grades.
It's you have to have, if you're a qualifier and an All-American, you have to have a certain GPA. I usually have it pulled up.
The better you do on the mat, the worse you have to do in the classroom.
Oh. Yeah. So.
But like, if you're a starter, you know, it's a higher academic threshold versus being a national champ is a little bit lower, but they're both high.
Yeah, okay. And the criteria for all three categories are pretty high. So it's not like you have to be able to demonstrate that you can compete at a high level and at a high level in the classroom too. So shout out to those guys. Appreciate you guys listening for another season. As Coach Blanton always mentions, you know, if you have feedback on things we can do to make this podcast more engaging and make it more fun for the people who listen, the vision was from I used to send out a newsletter every month. And knowing that it's 2023 and people don't necessarily want to read a newsletter right now, I'm just trying to figure out a different way to communicate and engage the supporters of our program, right? So that's where the Pack Leader Podcast came from, having leaders like Devin and the alumni that we have on the show every month. Just being able to catch up with them has been something that we've gotten good feedback, but always looking to be better and grow. So please submit whatever feedback you have as far as making this podcast bigger and better for next year. But it's been an awesome season. Mikey, appreciate your help, and we look forward to seeing you guys when we come back in the fall.